This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At the theater, more than the movies come to life. Movie lovers march in and skip the line with digital tickets to the latest movies on the free Fandango app. Ready to grab some snacks.
Pick me!
And head to the best seats in the house for a night of romance, terror, and quality family screen time. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
United States champion Logan Paul, the Judgment Day with world champion Damian Priest, and of course the Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Hello, Kansas City. Welcome to Monday Night Raw.
That was last night in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Hanging out ringside at the wrestling. The very real competition that pits American gladiators one against the other in a fight for survival as they pull punches and stomp their feet on the mat.
Man, they're paying, huh?
I don't think they do that anymore.
No, I don't think they do either. You're right. I don't think I see that anymore. The old punch and step at the same time type of move, or the old headbutt and stomp at the same time as they used to do as well. Yeah, that one I think is gone. I think they figured out that we kind of caught on to that one.
It's still very physical. It's very demanding, and guys do get injured, some for real and some for fake. Tony Khan in the Jaguars draft room this weekend, he's the principal of AEW, which has kind of been struggling, frankly, and they're trying to get more attention to it and spark some sort of a competition with WWE. They had a thing last week where they did a pile driver of him. Now, if you watch the video, his head never actually hits the mat. But he laid there motionless. His dad, Shad, the Jaguars owner, comes rushing into the ring to check on his son. And then he's got the Andy Kaufman neck brace in the draft room all weekend, fully committed to the bit.
I gotta
give him. He's committed, man.
That's next level.
It's like, you know, Robert De Niro gaining 60 pounds and losing it on the set of Raging Bull. It's doing whatever you have to do to really perfect your craft. It's Daniel Day-Lewis only answering to Mr. Lincoln when they weren't shooting scenes of the film from 2012. So, Tony Khan, keep it going, man. Stay committed. Stay committed. Watch what you say when you're on NFL Network, pro tip. But other than that, stay committed to the cause. So,
How much money do you think? What do they give a guy, Mahomes, to, you know, first row, right? Do that, make that appearance. I'm always just interested in that alone. Like, what are they throwing out there to move the needle? I mean, it's got to be significant. I don't think Mahomes is just going just to go. I don't think.
I don't know. Maybe he is.
Maybe he is.
He thought it was kind of cool. What else are you doing on a, you know, Monday night in late April, and you know, you got your workouts by day. There he is participating.
Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith got his back.
There to make sure QB1 is off limits. Not that he was going to get involved in any of the actual wrestling action, but yeah, in all fairness, they should compensate him because they create a viral moment and he adds to the broadcast.
I gotta think they do.
It wouldn't surprise me if he just did it for free.
Really? Yeah. It would surprise
me. Somebody invited him down, a friend or whatever. Let's go hang out. Let's have some fun on a Monday night. I don't know. That's something that maybe we should try to find out. How much did Patrick Mahomes get paid last night for showing up at the pro wrestling? I just think he got like a free hot dog and nachos or something.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. Maybe that's all it took to get the offensive lineman there. Hey, you guys, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, it's hot dogs, it's wrestling, come on in. And they were like, all right, we're cool, we'll do it, we're down.
He did get paid by one of his sponsors. Coors Light has some bit on his
dad bod, right, yeah.
Thing, which yeah. was kind of coming through in that t-shirt last night.
Well, I mean, he's already took his shirt off, so we know what it looks like.
I know. but one of the reasons you keep your shirt on is the dad bod doesn't show when the shirt's on. Sometimes when it's showing through the shirt, you maybe hit the cardio a little bit more. I don't know.
Right, he hits the cardio all the time. If you follow him or his wife on social media a little bit, he does have a kryptonite. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Loves the little cone, the little pre-made ice cream thing with the cone. The ice cream's on top. It's only about this big, and it's chocolate covered. And I saw the wife maybe last week or the week before, you know, basically holding it in front of him while he was sitting on the couch. And underneath it said, like, guess who eats, you know, 20 of these a night or whatever. It was something like that, right? So he obviously has a little bit of a sweet tooth when it gets late in the night. And that could contribute to the dad bod. I know that very well.
Been there and done that.
Right, exactly.
That took me years to get to the point where once dinner is over, it's shut off and I'm done.
Right.
That took me years.
Oh, it's still a struggle for me. Still.
I'm for the most part, like, if I didn't eat much for dinner and it's a Friday or a Saturday night, so it kind of feels like, you know, different than a normal night.
Yeah, right.
I'll get an apple. That's when you're old, you go get an
apple. Oh, my gosh. That was the payoff? On a crazy night, I'll get the apple? No. Oh, my gosh. You're old. We're going to put that on your damn tombstone,
apple's
too.
Apple's very healthy. I'm trying to live as long as I can. But anyway, yeah, that was it took me a long time because once I start eating, like my brain and my stomach weren't wired right where – you know, you've got this thing that kicks in and tells you you're done. I was just never done. And I did the whole thing. We would have the half gallon of ice cream and the pack of cones. And what I would do is I would never like overflow it because I liked having the crunchy cone stuff with it.
Yeah.
So I didn't have this big giant ice cream cone like a, you know, little kid running around with this
right.
big clot of ice cream. So I'd have like three or four of those. Because it's like, well, I never really had the full cone.
Yeah.
I'm just filling
you're
the cone up with
cones. You're going to have three cones.
So I've had three.
Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah, that's good. You want to get to the best part. You don't want to have to keep licking like just this huge thing of ice cream all the time together. So that's well done. I have a problem in my house. I, like you, have been trying to do that. You know, I do work out. I do things. But, like, I got a little extra in the belly that I'd go, damn, I work out too hard to have this little belly here. I need to have a little, like, at least a four-pack or something there. But it is. It's my late-night eating. And I've been better. But my kids, my wife, Ben and Jerry's, has crept back into the freezer. My daughter kind of brought it up. My son said it. So my wife, and because Ben and Jerry's uses, you know, all natural products and no GMOs, my wife has started to buy it again. So now in there, it's not just normal ice cream, too. It's like the Jimmy Fallon one that's got, like, cookie dough and peanut butter cookie dough and chocolate ice cream and vanilla. I mean, it is so freaking good that I can't pass it up. And of course, you know, if I have the munchies, there's absolutely zero chance I can pass it up. But between Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert, and a few other ones, I mean, they're killing me right now late at night. I cannot walk past the freezer and not stick my spoon in there and take a bite. And I did that last night and I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah, last night after dinner, nothing. Sometimes I'll make popcorn. And it all comes down to how much I eat for dinner. I don't eat much for dinner like I used to. Like if we get pizza, I'd eat four pieces. I'm good with two now. Some nights just one. Now I'll forage for some other stuff. But yeah, I don't have like that same appetite that I used to just nonstop. I mean, I'm I try to hover between 175 and 180. Again, for the purposes of longevity. You go to get your physical and they have that BMI chart and you look at it and it's like, wait a minute. I know how tall I am. I know how much I weigh.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. I'm obese according to this BMI chart. So that's a nice cold splash of water to get you under control. By the way, speaking of water, first world problem. Here's a first world problem for you. I work out every late afternoon, every day, without exception, unless, you know, if I got something going on, it's kind of hard to do it. But I, every day I'm here, I do it. Come up, take a shower, have dinner. That's the ritual. So last night, soaking wet, rode my bike for an hour, come up, turn on the water, ain't no water.
Oh.
No hot water.
Oh.
No hot water. We got one of those instant on. And so, yeah, I mean, my first thought is, because I checked all the hot water faucets, it's like there's a pipe that's busted somewhere and water's flying everywhere. But it's just, it's one of that, it's that thing on the wall that somehow turns the regular water into hot water. It's not a tank. And it's just, and everything's fine with it. There's just no, there's no hot water coming out of it. So I had no hot water last night or this morning.
Yeah, a little cold bath. It'll wake your ass up at night this morning.
Or if your house has a, you know, another hot water on the other side.
Oh, that's right. So you just walk over to the other side of Chateau de Florio, and that heater's working.
I was allowed back into. See, once I started doing morning show and getting up early, I basically was ejected from the really nice master bathroom in the house. And so that's become like my wife's sanctuary, and I never go in it ever. So I got a hall pass. I was allowed to shower in the big, nice bathroom with the big, nice walk-in shower today.
For me,
it's been, you know, the because my office is basically one of the guest rooms, one of the bedrooms, and there's a bathroom in that. And, you know, it's, you have to step over the tub, and I'll bang my foot on
it. That's a deal breaker for me.
Time.
Bye-bye. Yeah. See you later.
I don't do that. That's right.
That's right. That's the golden rule.
No stepping over tubs and no sheet origami on the bed.
Yeah, can't have that. Yeah, it's a no-no. I don't care if it's my house or not.
But it's not like the place. It's not like the place in Canton where you got to climb up and then like go across and climb down.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good.
But still, yeah. I mean, I'll bang my foot 3 times a year getting out of that, and I just did it the other night. It hurts like hell. So anyway, and you know.
Update that. Hurt. Nobody's taking a bath in there. Hurt. Update it. Reconstruct. Get a new shower. Do that. Get modernized. Come on. You can do that. Modernize the word. It sounds like it. I'm going with it.
Modernize. Oh, that's that's definitely a word. Right, if we were doing our game show, that wouldn't, yeah, that wouldn't even make it on to the list of is that a word. Modernize, no brainer. It's a word. Don't. You're in your head.
I am in my head.
What is
it's
a
early.
Word.
Right. Yes.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes got his big contract, got an adjustment last year after Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert got paid. And Travis Kelce has been woefully underpaid for a long time. And he made that comment in one of the articles last year where, not a sports article, it was one of the crossover, he's becoming a big deal, Esquire, GQ, one of those two. And he said, you know, sometimes he thinks he's kind of getting screwed. I'm paraphrasing, but he is. He was at like $13.5 million when the receiver market is much higher than that. And I know he's not a receiver, but he's as valuable as a receiver to the Chiefs. And he's just kind of languishing. I know we don't need to have a bake sale for him. But the question is, you're out there, you're contributing to this multi-billion dollar business, and others dollar for dollar who are lesser than you, they're getting more than you are.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't fair for what his impact was on the game. So they've taken care of it. They've taken care of it, and they gave him an extension. There was some confusion yesterday. Was it because they called it an extension?
Yeah,
like the initial reports were it was a 2-year extension. Well, he was under contract for 2 more years. So is it a 4-year contract or what? Eventually it became clear it's a new 2-year contract. That's the Aaron Donald move. Aaron Donald did a 3-year deal with 3 years left. They rip up what's left and replace it. That's what they did for Travis Kelce. Ripped up what was left and replaced it. And I think the teams don't like to advertise that we do that.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, there's another guy on the team
yep.
who's got like 10 years left that they should probably rip up and replace. But that gets Chiefs fans triggered because they want their quarterback to be underpaid so they can afford everybody else like Travis Kelce.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, of course they want that. They want to keep this thing rolling. It's the right thing. The Chiefs are doing all the right things by their people this offseason, right? I mean, they're taking care of the people that have made them what they are and the most popular team in our country right now in professional sports. Kelce, you know, I mean, I think you kind of said it right. You buttoned it up the right way. One, he's awesome. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is one of those guys that we talk about all the time that's going into the upper room, right, with Deion Sanders and Ray Lewis as that kind of all-time great. I mean, he's special that way, right? Is he the best he could possibly be right now in his career? No, we're towards the end. I would expect this is the last 2 years of Travis Kelce's career if you made me bet on it right now. I would, right? But I think it's the right thing to do, not only because he's still playing at a really high level and he's dangerous, right? Is he as good as he was 3-4 years ago? Okay, no. But he's still damn good. And then, of course, he's such a big part of their team, their belief in who they are, the leadership, the connection with Mahomes, and just the little, you know, spot and nuance he's found for himself within the offense, not only by the play being called, but what he does if the play breaks down and it becomes scramble drill. He's special that way. And then I think the last piece of the pie, Mike, is you're exactly right. I mean, it's like almost a little bit of like, you've done so much for us. This has been so great. You took us to another level. You know, you're forever a part of the DNA of the Kansas City Chiefs and this great dynasty here. Nice move by them and certainly well-deserved by Travis Kelce, who we know is just absolutely awesome.
I was wondering, in a situation like this, who made the first move?
Yeah.
Kelce saying, I want this contract, or did the Chiefs say, we probably should take care of this guy? There was never any serious retirement talk for Travis Kelce. I think some people just thought, well, what more do you have to prove? You're in the process of crossing over and becoming a star in the entertainment world. He's going to host a game show on Amazon. He's the executive producer of a couple of movies. He's dating Taylor Swift. Like, at what point do you just say, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't need to put my body in jeopardy anymore. I can walk away while I can still walk. So it'd be interesting to get to the truth as to how this came to be. Was he rattling the cage to get it done? Was he talking about, why do I need to play? You know, what kind of messages might have been coming from him to get the team to do it? Here's the message from Kelce yesterday, after the news became official of his new 2-year contract.
Back at it again, baby. Ooh, have to see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got out on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
So, you know, he says the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years. That sounds like a commitment
right.
by him that he's got 2 years left.
Yeah.
He's got 2 years left. And the way they structured the deal, $17 million fully guaranteed for this year. The remainder, $7.25 million for 2025, is fully guaranteed on the third day of the league year. That gives the Chiefs a little bit of a window to, you know, give him a nudge if they decide based upon this year, because you never know when the decline comes. The decline could start this year and the Chiefs could say,
yeah, I think it started already, to be quite honest, yeah. right? In
well,
a nice
if
way.
It really, if yeah. it really, if it really accelerates this year.
Right. I hear you. Right. Right.
Then, and you've got somebody else that you're ready to plug into that offense.
Yeah.
It's coming at some point. That's the thing for Mahomes. They're going to all change around him. Tyreek
yeah.
Hill, Travis Kelce, right. this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Mahomes is going to be the constant. That's the reality. And, yeah, they have a window to get out. They didn't make a firm $34.25 million full guarantee. Let's see what happens this year. Let's see what we're going to do next year. So it's a compromise. He's got 2 years. In theory, the Chiefs have year to year. In reality, And it sounds like the maximum for Kelce is 2 more years. And I think there's a possibility after this year, whether it's Chiefs, whether it's Kelce, whether it's mutual, it could be. Could be.
I hear you.
Based upon the way this is structured, it could be exit stage left for Kelce into, you know, the new life of glitz and glamour and 178,000 miles of flying, which I saw that report yesterday. That's what Taylor Swift did last year. 178,000 circling the globe. I don't know how many times it was. Multiple times around the globe for all her flights to the different shows that she does. So, you know, he can just ride the private jet all the time.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't shock me if it was a 1 year and he reevaluated and kind of went, okay, I'm done. But I expect it to be the 2 years, right? I mean, I think we saw, like, with all due respect, a little decline in Travis Kelce last year a little bit. Right? I mean, he maybe doesn't separate quite the way he used to. There was a few games where it was a little bit of like, hey, where is he? Where did he go? Right? Still really awesome. I think that's why it's a really awesome deal for the Kansas City Chiefs that they're doing this. It's a little bit of like, hey, you're still awesome, but we're also paying you for, you know, for what you did and what you have done for us, right? It's a little bit of that, like almost a legacy bump on the contract to that point there.
Which rarely happens.
It rarely happens. That's the point. In the NFL, it rarely happens. So that's where I really do give respect to the Kansas City Chiefs organization and everybody there for doing right by, you know, like one of the pillars of their organization forever and ever here as we go. But yeah, I wouldn't even be shocked, Mike, if that little element in the contract's there, you know, for him as well. Just, you know, in case he's like, wait, you know what, I'm done. I got enough going on. You know, hey, see you later, and I'm going to move on with life. But he certainly has hit a different stratosphere. It's good. They're giving him the money for what he is now. But, man, I mean, by all due accounts, he is raking it in off the field right now in a huge, huge way. And that's probably what led him to being a little patient with this thing. I'm sure the agent and him were, you know, giving the team a little nudge every now and then, right? Like, hey, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And they knew it was, and that's why they got it done. And they've done a good job of taking care of the most important people in that organization.
And I think that the analysis, I mean, there's going to be a lot of factors to go into
it,
but how big the ship is that comes in for Travis Kelce over the course of the next year is going to be a factor. The earning opportunities. If somebody says, we want you to become The Rock, we want you to star in this movie, oh, and it's filming from August to October, so it's up to you what you're going to do. Well, how much are you paying me? Well, we'll pay you $25 million for this role. Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, that I feel like that's the thing that could short-circuit it next year. Whatever opportunities end up coming his way this year.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know what he ultimately wants to do other than be really rich and really famous. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sounds good. I don't know
how that's going to manifest itself.
Yeah.
Like hosting this game show on Amazon. You know, where does it go from here? Where do the opportunities arise?
He's got the podcast is the biggest podcast going around right now in sports world, right?
So and his brother Jason's going to work for ESPN's Monday Night Countdown. That was reported yesterday by Andrew Marchand of The Athletic. So
that's where it's going to go too.
He can do.
That's where it's going to go too. I mean, 2 years from now, right? I mean, yeah, I'll have to be biting my own.
I don't have time to do that.
I'll have to bite my own fingernails. He'll find time for a few million dollars to be on, you know, on Sunday Night Football, right, for an hour a week and go, wait, I'm out here, I'm famous guy, blah, blah, blah. It's a good way to do that. Like, I mean, it's certainly going to be there and available for him. People are going to knock down the door for him. They knock it down this way for Jason Kelce. Imagine what it's going to be like for Travis. As awesome as Jason is, Travis is in another stratosphere right now. He is going to be
I
able
think Travis to, is yeah. too big for it.
He,
I think
maybe
Travis
he
is too big
maybe.
To be on a pregame
it,
show.
It could be.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Right.
That's why we were so stunned when Tom Brady decided to be the number one analyst at Fox until we found out how much they were
well,
paying.
Well, yeah. This is all going to go
big
up.
For that job. Oh, wait, $37.5 million.
Yeah.
He's not too big for that job.
No.
He still hasn't done it yet, though. But I just think, like, look at Gronk. Like, I'm all due respect. And I mean, Gronk is just Gronk. Gronk is never going to be anything but Gronk, and it's going to pay him very well, but it's not like they're going to come to Gronk and say, you know, we saw you in that thing you did. You really have it. You can deliver lines. You can be an action star. I think he hopes that'll happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
it could happen for Kelce.
It could happen for
that's
Kelce.
Where you, right. That's where you go from being, you know, just another face in the elite crowd to The Rock, where it all opens up and you're getting these gigantic paydays to star in these films. I think that's what Kelce ultimately wants to do. Now, you want to be careful not to articulate what you want to do, because then you look like a failure if it doesn't happen. And there's no greater sign of somebody who doesn't get it than somebody who spouts off to the world, this is what I want to do, this grandiose thing. You just get to work, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I think that that's what he wants to do. I think enough of it came through in that profile last year that I was referring to. He wants to be rich. He wants to be famous. Don't we all? And he's on path to do it in a way unrelated to football, where I think he won't have the time or the desire, and it'll be beneath him. It'll be beneath his stardom
to be a regular contributor.
Well, it depends on how much they're going to cough up. But I don't think they're going to, because that's what happens. They cough it up, and then the rising tide lifts all
boats. That's what's going to happen.
Like, no.
Well,
they're
just
crazy.
Like that's all that's going to happen. I know the TV networks don't want to hear this, but this is all going to happen. This is what's going to happen, because they're not going to be able to get anybody to work for them anymore. These guys are making so much money, they're going to have to start spending money to get them, right? Right? I mean, from what I hear from what, like, Jason Kelce's making an ESPN, it's like, oh, boom, whoa. And, you know, he's not working that many days. It's a bigger number. These type of guys, I think, are going to expand this market. And it is still a huge spot. And like we talk about all the time, like when you retire, you got nothing to do. Like, he's not going to be that busy. I mean, he's not running like some billion-dollar corporation or anything. I think he'll have plenty of time still.
If you're doing movies, maybe movies could change that.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can't commit to That's every right. Monday or Sunday right. in football season, because you're going to be in Bora Bora for 3 months.
He's going to have to, right? If he wants to do movies and he wants to be the next Terminator, like you talked about, he's going to have to start working out. Okay, he's going to have to do something, because, you know, his quarterback's got dad bod. You saw Travis Kelce's picture and how the social media went crazy with Taylor Swift on the beach a few weeks ago. Did you see all that?
I didn't.
Oh, well, everybody was like, wait, he plays football? Look at his body. How is this? How is this guy so good at football and he looks like this? I don't understand it. The Swifties were all confused. I got in the back room, them looking for it a little bit. They'll find it. I know they will. But
here's the reality.
You're right, though. He could be a superstar, Hollywood star, right?
Yeah. They don't do PED tests in Hollywood. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
All right. But
yeah,
Rock looks a little different now than 20 years ago. Not Rock. No, I'm not saying – I don't mean Rock. I don't mean Rock. But, I mean, just some of the films I've watched recently where guys are, like, rocked and cut. And it's like, that ain't from spending a couple extra hours in the gym. You know, again, there's no regulation of that. It was like wrestling used to be.
Yeah, of course.
Steroids were rampant in wrestling until they got it under control. I think in other forms of
entertainment. Here it is. Way to go, everybody. Way to go, right?
Yeah.
These are the pictures, right? These are the pictures. And it just was funny because I, you know, of course, look at some of this stuff on social media. And it just was funny to hear all the comments. And I think there was even another picture with Kelce that was a little more unflattering. But people, I just think, they think just because you're a football player, you're always built like a Greek god and you got pecs and, you know, pasted on six pack. And no, there's a lot of good players that kind of just, hey, we stay in shape, but I'm not into sculpting. I want to be loose and flexible and move around. And that's kind of what Mahomes and Kelce have kind of taken that approach. Where then there's the Gronk, who's like, oh, I'm going to be jacked. And Gronk takes his shirt off and he is a Greek god. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at that. Right? So there's different ways to do that. That's just his approach.
I remember when Gronk, though, first retired and lost all that
weight. Oh, yeah, remember that?
On Fox, right, wearing the big, giant Ben McAdoo suit. He actually looked like the character that Tom Hanks played in Big at the end of the movie when he goes back to being the 12-year-old boy in the Tom Hanks suit. That's what Gronk looked like. Dated reference, but again, a couple of you out there will appreciate it. Big's an excellent movie, by the way.
Excellent.
Tom Hanks was nominated for Best Actor before he won back-to-back years with Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
Damn, I didn't know that. I didn't know he got nominated for that. Wow.
Yeah, nominated Best Actor for Big. I was rooting for him. I remember because I thought it was a great movie. It was a surprise. It was I've always been a big Tom Hanks fan. I remember when he was on Bosom Buddies in the late 70s. You can just tell when somebody has it. You know, you can tell. And when you watch shows from that era, the acting was different, the delivery was different, the people were different, and then Tom Hanks just kind of explodes onto the scene, and it's obvious he's got something that the rest of them don't. So anyway, that's where Travis Kelce is going to try to reside. Does he have that thing that's going to set him apart from the Gronks of the world who just show up and go, ho, 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 ho? But again, I can't hate it. It's working for him.
Of course
he's making
it is.
Money.
It is. It's being
it's
him.
The same thing. Yeah. It's Gronk being Gronk. Just Gronk, go be Gronk, and here's a big check.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I can't hate it. It works.
Travis Kelce's he's a little different, right? You know, I mean, he's not like Gronk. We'll see. It seems like there's a definitely maybe of a different crossover appeal with Travis Kelce. I mean, he is into fashion and cool and at Coachella. I mean, he's at every big event. Like, it's even gone to, I mean, he's in a different superstar stratosphere than I think even a guy like Gronk is at this point. It really is exploded. And it should, and that's why it's cool. I mean, we know how awesome he is on the field. We get to see Mahomes and Kelce for two more years, which is no doubt one of the greatest, right, combinations we've ever seen in the history of football between a pass catcher and a quarterback. It's up there with anybody, right? They're breaking Gronk and Brady playoff and Super Bowl records as we just sit here and watch and as bystanders. So it's really cool. And of course, there's such a big history of the game, the Chiefs and Kelce, and the way they're doing it, like we've talked about. We haven't seen too many dynasty teams do it this way. I think the Cowboys of the 90s are the only ones that I would throw in this category where it's just like, we're here, turn on the lights, it's the traveling show, eat it, and we're going to win this game no matter what. And it's kind of cool. It's different than most dynasties.
No, but the Cowboys in the 90s fell victim to, and this is the mindset that I said other teams should have with Chris Jones. The Cowboys were dismantled by other teams that were overpaying their free agents to break up the Cowboys. There's no sentiment out there to break up the Chiefs. If anything, get the Bills helping them out. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But nobody swooped in and offered Chris Jones the kind of contract that would get him to leave Kansas City. You don't have that now. It's easier to hold it together when the other teams aren't saying, we need to mess them up. We need to tear them down.
Yeah.
We need to make the Chiefs be something less than the Chiefs to give the other teams out here a chance to compete.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen
an Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock. For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like
an Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
We've been talking about Gronk and, you know, his whole shtick. He's appearing on this Tom Brady roast on Sunday night. Belichick, reportedly, is appearing on the Tom Brady roast on Sunday night. Randy Moss is going to be there. And I always get a little nervous with roasts where you have people who aren't professional comedians, because the professional comedians know how to write the jokes and they know how to sell the jokes. Gronk was involved in a David Ortiz roast they couldn't televise because of Gronk, in part because he was like over the top, gratuitously, aimlessly, recklessly raunchy. It was really something. So this thing's live. They can't keep it off the air. Live on Sunday is this Tom Brady roast, and Gronk's going to be involved. And Belichick. Belichick is one of the roasters, apparently.
That's amazing.
Which, it's those things get, I just wonder how far it's going to go, because those things get a little wild.
They can get
a
hand.
A little over the
right,
top.
Right.
They get a little over the top. They get a little personal, and they get a little much sometimes. Okay. We mentioned that teams aren't trying to take apart the Chiefs. If anything, you've got the Bills helping them out by trading down so the Chiefs can go get Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy ever at the scouting combine. Here is Andy Reid, coach of the Chiefs, on potential comparisons of their first-round pick to their former star receiver, Tyreek Hill.
You know, he's not a big kid, or at least weight-wise. He's got good height. He's just not very heavy. But I think you'll see this toughness that he's got, which jumped out at me. That wasn't necessarily the comparison as much as it was him being a good football player that was a good wide receiver. I mean, you know, now you add in there the return ability. I've had some guys like that, Tyreek and DeSean Jackson, probably body typed a little bit more like DeSean. Yeah.
5'10", 185 was Hill. Jackson was 5'10", 169. And DeSean Jackson, one of the reasons he was so spectacular as a player, he looked like a kid out there.
Right.
Now, Tyreek Hill's not big, but he doesn't look little.
He's as rocked up and as densely thick as you, like one of those guys you see it and go, damn, if I tried to stick a knife into his shoulder, I don't think the knife's going to go in. It's going to bend.
The knife would break.
Yeah, it's going to bend.
May your knife chip and shatter.
Right.
That's what would happen.
He is. He's jacked. He's stout as could be. Right. Just to put it in perspective for everybody, Xavier Worthy's an inch taller than Tyreek Hill, and he's 20 pounds lighter, right? So that just tells you right there that there's a different, you know, Tyreek Hill's built like a running back almost. That's what's so rare about him. He's got a power and explosiveness about him that's rare to see in that wide receiver position. But, man, Xavier Worthy, he can run just like him straight away. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, he's a little different, maybe not quite as physical, but what you heard with Andy Reid, and I think what everybody liked about Xavier Worthy, is usually when you see guys like that, you just go, are they tough? Are they going to be physical, right? You know, do they turn down, oh, I could have put my shoulder down to get the first down, but I just went down because I'm a little small and I don't want to take that hit. Xavier Worthy, you will see none of that. He is fearless with the ball in his hands. Nobody told him he's 165 pounds, right? He can be knocked around a little bit with bump and run, and he's got to get better at stuff like that. But he's fast as hell, he's quick as hell. He'll learn the techniques to deal with that. But I think that's what intrigued everybody in football, Mike, that it wasn't just a speed guy. He looked like a guy that you go, wait, we could throw a screen to him, and he might be able to, you know, yeah, make some people miss with his speed, but then he could, like, lower his shoulder and break an arm tackle and keep going a little bit that way. And I think that's what teams really kind of got people sold on Xavier Worthy.
5'11", 165, long arms, long legs. But
right.
You mentioned the bump and run. I mean, look, the first thing I thought of is you were saying those things, Tyreek Hill getting manhandled by L'Jarius Sneed in the playoffs, enough to get him called out by Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, and right.
When
right.
You're Tyreek Hill and you're getting thrown around, I mean, look, we've seen, I remember Desmond Howard, Heisman Trophy winner, top five pick of Washington, came to the NFL, never did anything because they got up in his face.
Yeah.
He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage.
Right.
That's the challenge.
Right.
I'm fast and I can catch. Well, okay, but first you got to get by that guy that is right there, ready to redirect you and or throw you headfirst into the ground, if that's what it takes to keep you from getting by him, good luck. And we see guys either develop the skill and ability to get past those guys, and sometimes you got to hit them back as hard as they're hitting you. Sometimes you just have to find a way to slip around it, but that's going to be the challenge for a guy who's 5'11", 165.
Right.
And, you know, how much weight will they put on him? We'll see. But, you know, DeSean Jackson was able – to get open. Tyreek Hill able to get open.
Right. Devontae That's Smith, there challenge. Was the issue of him, right, a yeah. few years ago. They just now he's getting $23 million a year, and, you know, he's definitely one of the best receivers in football. So what can be done? And like we've talked about, yeah, I mean, the work, the things you learn, how to get off bump, the hand fighting, the footwork, all that, that'll improve, right? But I think this is it's an intriguing draft pick, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs. It really is. It makes me think about the vision of their offense right now. And it makes me go back into last year where I go, wait, I think Kansas City might go into this, for lack of a better way to say this, the Oregon offense, okay? And what I mean by that is, you look, they got him right now, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, who was Xavier Worthy 6 years ago when he came out of Oklahoma. It was the same kind of guy. Like, whoa, he's really fast. He's a little small and skinny, but damn, he's fast. And he went in the first round of the Baltimore Ravens because of that. But this is in the league right now where bigger receivers are in vogue. They're going the smaller jitterbug speed guy with Hollywood Brown, right? Xavier Worthy, Kadarius Toney, who I still think is going to be in the mix here. I don't think they're just going to totally give up on him. And we know they got Rashee Rice, but hear me out with what I think, Mike. We saw last year, right? The Chiefs became the best screen team in football. Mahomes, Rodgers, they're the best screen throwers in football. They can get the ball out of their hands so quick and so accurately and still throw it with such pace and power that they are dangerous in the screen game. And the Chiefs are great at it. And it makes me think that they're going to kind of do this approach like, hey, Pacheco up the middle. Oh, there's a few too many guys in there. Hey, get it out here to Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy or Toney. Let them move. Oh, you're starting to creep up a little bit. Oh, boom, there goes Xavier Worthy over the top for a 70-yard bomb. It seems like they're kind of going to play it this way. They're almost going to go a little bit more, for lack of a better way, college-y offense here. And I'm intrigued to see what it's going to look like there in Kansas City.
Well, and the key is going to be it's another year for Patrick Mahomes with the memory banks, with
yeah.
the experiences, the place he's trying to get to where Tom Brady was, where usually it's in your 30s, where you have that intersection of your remaining physical abilities and you've seen it all and you can react and adapt and adjust to what's at the line of scrimmage, what the defense is showing you, what you think you can pivot to make it work. And he's getting there because there's the decisions you make before the snap, the decisions you make after the snap based upon how the 11 men on defense are allocated to try to stop you. And you mentioned Rice. Look, if I'm the Chiefs, I don't expect him to be available week one.
Yeah.
We've said this before.
Right.
He's facing 8 felonies. He's either going to resolve that and be suspended by the league, or he's going to not resolve it and be put on the commissioner exempt list. I can't imagine 8 felony charges and not landing on the commissioner exempt list. Now, it's not a domestic violence situation, which usually is your quickest ticket to the commissioner exempt list, and for good reason, but it's still 8 felonies, and there could be more. They still haven't charged him for leaving the scene of an accident with injuries, which is the most obvious thing that he did. That's the one thing that is undeniable. If he admits to driving the car, he left. He left. And that feels like it's coming as well. So whoever they have. And you're right about Toney. They haven't given up on Toney yet. They have him at
Doesn't
a very
like
low
it.
Salary for this year.
Right.
They want to see if it settles down and if he finally learns. They don't want him to learn his lesson
yeah.
with another team.
Right. Right.
Because they know what a weapon he can be. They talk all the time. He's one of the most talented players on the team. Most talented player on the team. Why is he playing 20% of the snaps? Well, there's other reasons why he's not. But if they could ever get him to fully focus on football and getting the most out of his talents, he could be a special player, and they're not ready to give up on that, obviously, although yeah. I thought they were. I thought they'd had enough.
Hey, we've seen moments. You know, they traded a third-round pick on him for him, right? So they're not going to give up too easily. I think that's the big thing. And I think, like, to your point, they see the talent. They do that. Everybody sees the talent, right? We're with Jason Garrett, who was with the New York Giants when they drafted Kadarius Toney. I mean, one of the first things he said. He's as talented as a guy as you're ever going to see in your life. Right? He was one of those guys. He goes, he could throw the ball 85 yards in the air. Right? He's one of those freaky type of athletes. But yeah, it's getting him to be whatever. I don't even know the full story. Professional, on his P's and Q's, dotting his I's, crossing his T's, whatever.
Just fully
he's not there.
To football.
Right.
Fully committed.
Because we've
football.
Had moments. We saw some games, right, with the Giants where he went off. I mean, 180 yards, 200 yards receiving. Of course, the Super Bowl against the Eagles. We know it's there. It's just, yeah, I think you're right. The way you're saying it is exactly the right to say it. Totally committed to football.
So the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy because the Bills do a trade
with the Chiefs
and allow them to do it. And that's the team that the Bills are trying to get by, and they're making it easier for the Chiefs at a time when the Bills have needs at the same position. So Brandon Bede, general manager of the Buffalo Bills, addressed this question. When you did the trade that allowed the Chiefs to spring up to 28 to get Xavier Worthy, did they tell you who they would be drafting? Here is what Bean had to say.
Did you get any assurance from them as to who they were going to pick before you agreed to make that move?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
No. No. Because, like I said, even if we could have traded with someone else, Jay, and they take somebody, like we had other opportunities, the best deal, I would say that was the best deal for us. Take them out, take the team out of it. That was the best deal that we thought that fit what we wanted to do. And the way you have to look at it, I mean, we talked to teams in our division about the trade. You know what I'm saying? It's really, to me, what's the best deal for the Bills? If we don't do a deal, in this case with Kansas City, they can go do a deal with the next team. That
they would get whoever they wanted anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him taking a receiver, but, you know, you don't truly know. I mean, no one there said, hey, we'll take, you know, this player or whatever. You know, I think you would do that maybe if, Jay, if you're moving one pick back or something like that, then maybe you'd say, you know, if you got two guys and you want to make sure who you're picking or something like that. But where they were moving from, I don't think it mattered to us who they were picking.
And obviously the Bills knew who they wanted, and they thought they could get him. Keon Coleman was the guy, apparently, and they were able to get him by trading back. They guessed right. I feel like teams never take into account who they're doing these trades with, and fans think they should. I just think it's a dangerous path to go down. There's only so many things you can really juggle when you're trying to deal with the draft. You've got your board. You've got your strategy. How do we get the guys we want? It's hard enough to get the guys we want to try to engineer this thing to keep our rivals from getting the guys they want. We just got to focus on getting the guys we want. And I feel like that's the mindset, that it's just one too many balls into your effort. Yeah, I can juggle three. Don't give me four. And please don't give me five. This is the one where you just can't add in that extra ball.
No, again, you got to do what's best for you. You can't worry about, like, oh, it's this team, and, yeah, we've lost some playoff games for them. Ultimately, right? I mean, there's one reason this is even a big talking conversation or talking point. Bills fans are scarred by the fact that they traded away that pick and the Chiefs acquired Patrick Mahomes, you know, 7 years ago. That's the precipice of this whole conversation, right? Let alone they're the AFC rivals and they lose to them and all that. And then now they needed a receiver. And because Xavier Worthy ran the fastest 40 time in the history of the combine, everybody goes, well, that's the Bills must have wanted that guy. I mean, damn, they let him jump him. And like, no, that's not the case. They didn't want Xavier Worthy. They were willing to let that be, you know. And again, whether they had Keon Coleman solely in their sights, or maybe they had three other guys with like the same exact grade, and Xavier Leggett, maybe a Keon Coleman, the Jalen Polk, maybe the Adonai Mitchell, all of those guys were viewed in that area. So they were like, wait, we're going to get a good receiver. And what I would say to it, too, is I don't think Xavier Worthy is their cup of tea. Like, first off, when you look at the Bills roster, they have that type of player, right? They got a Curtis Samuel and a Khalil Shakir that are the smaller, faster type of receivers, right? So I think they look at that and go, wait, they want a different type there, a different wide receiver body type. And that's where Keon Coleman is different. So we got some smaller jitterbug fast guys, and now we got a guy that jump ball, one-on-ones, back shoulders, and he's an incredible route runner. It's a nice complement to everything they have, let alone we know those two tight ends are going to be on the field. And you add Keon Coleman to that group, and you go, damn, that's a big receiver with two big tight ends on the field. And all of a sudden you look at the Bills and go, holy crap, they're big on offense. So, you know, I think it's their vision of their team is different than what the Chiefs' vision for their team is, and that's why it's beauty in the eye of the beholder a little bit with the wide receiver.
And look, it meshes with the things that Brandon Bean said about having a number one receiver before the draft. different guys have different skills, and that's what it's about.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What they're trying to put together, layering in the different things that guys can do, the jump ball, the 50-50 ball, the run after the catch, the little fast guy that's
going
to get open deep down the field, and you put it all together, and you've got an offense that Josh Allen can orchestrate. By the way,
well, yeah.
I was so impressed by the fact that you rattled off the term precipice. I didn't bother to fully scrutinize whether it was the right word for the point you were trying to make, but it was such a good, I mean, precipice, man. You pulled precipice out of the bag.
I did.
But I think we need to go back and scrutinize the tape. I don't think it's the word you meant, and if you did mean it, I don't think that it really fit there. But the word itself and hearing you say it was so impressive that I'll let the rest
of you go. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Thanks for letting that one go
precipice.
By. I do. But yeah, you know, hey, the receiver position, how you're explaining it too, you can go one of two ways, right? You can go, hey, we're going to have a lot of the same guys, and you don't know, they're interchangeable, and you don't know who we're going to feed and do all of that. And that kind of seems what Kansas City might be doing a little bit, right? Like, it's Tony, it's Sky Moore, it's Xavier Worthy, and it's Hollywood Brown. They're all these fast jitterbug guys, and you don't know who we're going to do in this situation, all that. That's great. But there's the other side of that where, hey, I got a variety of guys, so what you're saying, and, hey, in this situation, it's 3rd and 7. Damn, this team plays man-to-man. We might not be able to separate or get open. I need to be able to throw to a guy that can box somebody out and catch a tough football like that, where maybe the Chiefs guys won't be so good at that. Now the Bills go, wait, we got a guy on 3rd and 7. We can do that. So it's kind of how teams kind of look at that position, how they want to run their offense. And I think the Bills, from all due accounts here, are going to go a little bit. The O-line was better. They ran the ball better last year, right? They got these tight ends. They got that receiver. I think it looks like they're about to take the big approach and kind of just overwhelm people that way with like one speed guy on the field at receiver.
All right, we're going to take a break. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about the chaos in Atlanta as a result of the decision to make Michael Penix Jr. the 8th overall pick in the draft and what that means for Kirk Cousins. We have a little bit more. We got a bow to put on that. And then we're going to look at the place where Kirk Cousins was with new quarterback and receiver, where it's time to get out the checkbook and pay this guy. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.